Someone asked me a week or so ago, what about Judges? How come we stop reading in Judges? Well, I thought it was, especially these last few chapters, kind of a downer during the Christmas season, so I precluded them until this morning. We're going to read the first 15 verses of the 19th chapter, but just to refresh your memory, these last chapters, chapter 17 through 21, are an appendix to the book in the sense that as we've gone through and seen the various judges, and it's been said that there was sin in the land and God brought judgment and then he raised up a judge, he hasn't gone that much in depth about the sin. Well, that's what these last chapters are for. They disclose the depth of the corruption, the degradation into which Israel has fallen because of its unfaithfulness. Apostasy had brought on anarchy. We read that verse a few times. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we saw in the life the last time we read, which was actually 2 months ago today, the last time we read, we saw the Ephraimite named Micah. And we saw in his actions the extent of religious corruption, man-made idols, household shrines, mercenary faux priests, that's what I was trying to say, faux priests, serving and conflating both the true religion of Jehovah with the fallen religion of idols. Well, chapters 19 through 21 that we're going to begin looking at this morning, they show us the extent of moral corruption. Religious corruption always leads to moral corruption. And in the first half of this chapter, the writer is really kind of setting us up. He wants us to be shocked at how far the Israelites have fallen. And we're introduced to another Levite, another one from Ephraim, who takes a woman from Bethlehem as his concubine, in other words, his secondary wife, probably a slave, much lower legal status than a true wife. But as they live together, she is unfaithful, is the word that's used in verse 2, and she leaves and goes back to her father's house in Bethlehem. And after 4 months, the Levite decides he misses her, apparently, because he goes down to Bethlehem to win her back, and her father, his father-in-law, is delighted. The writer records this overwhelming joy and hospitality of what seemed to be a very gregarious man. And we begin to think that things are going to be fine. This sounds like a happy ending story as we begin to read it. But the gracious hospitality is quickly contrasted with the Levite's suspicions about the pagan city of Jerusalem. And then, as he discovers, we'll see next time, the reality and the danger of the inhospitable Benjamites in the city of Gibeah. He looks for relief amongst his own people and finds instead disappointment. Let me read these 15 verses, the first 15 of chapter 19. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, who took to himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. And his concubine was unfaithful to him, and she went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there some 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. He had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the girl's father saw him, he came with joy to meet him. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, made him stay, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and spent the night there. And on the fourth day they arose early in the morning, and he prepared to go. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Strengthen your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that you may go." So the two of them sat and ate and drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Be pleased to spend the night, and let your heart be merry." And when the man rose up to go, his father-in-law pressed him till he spent the night there again. And on the fifth day he arose early in the morning to depart. And the girl's father said, "Strengthen your heart and wait until the day declines." So they ate, both of them. And when the man and his concubine and his servant rose up to depart, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold, now the day has waned toward evening. Please spend the night. Behold, the day draws to its close. Lodge here, and let your heart be merry, and tomorrow you shall arise early in the morning for your journey and go home." But the man would not spend the night. He rose up and departed and arrived opposite Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. He had with him a couple of saddled donkeys, and his concubine was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was nearly over. And the servant said to his master, "Come now, let us turn aside to this city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." His master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who do not belong to the people of Israel, but we will pass on to Gibeah." And he said to his young man, "Come and let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night at Gibeah or Ramah." So they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go in and spend the night at Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. We'll leave you hanging there until next time.